We are back on the Huge Show across Michigan. Superfly Hayes is our executive producer. It's NFL Draft Week in Detroit. The Lions will be on the clock with pick 29. Tim 20man, DetroitLions.com. Lions NFL columnist insider. He joins us on the Meyer guest sign. How you doing, my man?
Good, Huge. How are you?
So this draft week so far, and I know we haven't got to the actual round one coming up on Thursday, what has caught your attention the most about it? I'm talking from a Detroit perspective.
Just the excitement, I think, really. Just in terms of having it downtown, you know, the stage is down in Campus Martius, the businesses and the footprint and everything else. I think the city is really excited to put on a huge event like this, show the nation, show the world, you know, what the city is about. And I think that's one of the really fun things about having this draft in the city of Detroit. I know Detroit's excited and ready for it.
Yeah, and the timing, you know, life, sports, it's all about timing. Lions coming off one of their best seasons ever as a franchise, more stability, ownership, front office, coaching, players than I've ever seen. You know, we'd have to go back late 80s, early 90s in the heyday. With Barry, now you get the draft, you get the worldwide exposure on that. The Lions, are they two players away? Are they four players away from being a Super Bowl champion? Getting to a Super Bowl, obviously, would be the next step. So if you're Brad Holmes and the staff on the front office side, Dorsey, Spillman, and the crew, and you got the coaches, and you're in a meeting, and you're talking about what you need from the draft and the rest of this offseason for the Lions to one-up what they did a year ago and get to the Super Bowl, how would that list go?
Well, I think they're in a great position because heading into this draft, this is the most complete the roster has been in Brad Holmes' tenure here. I mean, you look around the roster, where's the weakness? Where do you see a significant hole right now? You know, some could say cornerback depth, you know, but you know, they went and got Carlton Davis, you know, signed Amik Robertson, signed back some of their guys. They like what they got there with Brian Branch returning. I just think this is a situation where Brad Holmes can really go into this draft and say, best player available. Let's get our guys. You know, I think you get in trouble sometimes when you go into these drafts and you say, I've got a need here, so I'm going to pass on a player that maybe he's a little bit better of a player, but hey, we've got this need right here, and that's just not how Brad approaches the draft. Look, last year's a perfect example. You know, he didn't need a running back, but Jahmyr Gibbs was a guy they liked. He was a fit for what they wanted. He was their guy, so they went and got him. Same thing with Jack Campbell. And, you know, and then Sam LaPorta in the second round, Brian Branch. They had just signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They didn't need a nickel cornerback, but Brian Branch was the best player on their board, and guess what happens? He comes here, he's the player he is, and now you move C.J. Gardner-Johnson to safety, all of a sudden you're, you know, a lot better football team. So that's really the conversation and the approach. If it's me, if I'm Brad Holmes and I'm in those rooms, and I think these are the conversations they're having, is that let's just trust our board, trust our process, look what we've done the last 3 years, the kind of talent we brought in here. Let's find our guys and let the draft just come to us.
Yeah, I'm looking at one thing, and I thought about this a lot today. So, and Brad Holmes, you know, has his own game plan with input from the front office and the coaching staff and ownership and everybody. But if you had the opportunity, so it's Thursday night, downtown Detroit, round one of the NFL draft, and all of a sudden, Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo, is sitting there, and you could trade up to, say, with the Raiders at pick 13, just for the sake of this argument. And you could go get him, and you might have to give up some draft capital, obviously, later in this draft, but maybe next year, where if you're a better team, it's going to be lower-level stuff like it is this year. And you know that, okay, could Mitchell be a shutdown corner for us for 4 years? Could he step in and be a shutdown corner that we don't need? You talk about where they're set and where is a weakness. And you start thinking about Davis and him at the corner, you got Reeder in the middle, you got Davenport, you have Hutch. I would give up some draft capital for that because I think they're closer now than a year ago. I don't think they were planning on going to the NFC championship game, that there still was growth, maturity. You didn't know that rookie class would become one of the great rookie classes the NFL has ever seen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if the opportunity arose – where you knew you're this player away, that this dude's a four-year starter and you're going to give up some draft capital, I'd do it. The question is, would Brad Holmes do it?
No, I think it's a good talking point because there's precedent here, right? I mean, they've already done it for J-Mo.
Right.
You know, they moved up. They identified J-Mo as a guy that they really like, their guy. And they moved up significantly for him, gave up assets. So there's a precedent. Brad will certainly do it. And look, they've done a lot of homework on the cornerbacks leading up to this draft. They've had a lot of the guys in on pre-draft visits. And I think, you know, I think it's fair. You know, maybe the kid from Alabama too, you know, not Khalid McKinstry, but the other one, Tyrion Arnold. I think, you know, there's another one that you could maybe, if you fall in love with and you think he's a guy that can help you right away, I think that cornerback spot is probably one position you talk about. And I think maybe if we see, you know, one of the edge guys maybe move back, an edge guy that they really like, that you say, wow, you know, this is a guy we think can really maybe, you know, be part of that rotation opposite Hutch, give us something that we don't have. It's an offensive draft at the top. We're going to see quarterbacks. We're going to see offensive linemen. We're going to see receivers. And I think maybe if you start to see one of those edge defenders or one of those cornerbacks start to move back into that range that you talked about, 13, 14, 15, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I think that guy certainly has to check all the boxes for Brad to move up. But there certainly is precedent, and I wouldn't be surprised by it.
Yeah, because you look at most mocks, you get Mitchell out of Toledo, when you mention Arnold from Alabama, they're gone, most of them, by, you know, pick 16, 17. They're in that top 17 group. And I really think it's about this quarterback race and what is real, what's not. I even saw a mock draft now saying Jaden Daniels has moved in front of Caleb Williams, and the Bears might go with him. Who knows what's real? Who knows what's smoke? But, you know, quarterbacks are a key. Will J.J. McCarthy go number two? I saw the odds drop dramatically that he could be the overall number two choice by Washington. Are they just throwing out flares every direction? But you have quarterbacks that will go in. Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May out of North Carolina. Is J.J. one of those top eight quarterbacks? It seems to be a mixed feeling, emotion, all around the place. So, yeah, let all those quarterbacks keep going. Let people keep trading up because they'll push down somebody the Lions could make a move on.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. I would include in that list too. I see some mocks have him going somewhere, you know, in the middle of the draft. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bo Nix went either. You know, I really right. wouldn't be surprised if there's six quarterbacks in the first round. And like you mentioned, that's going to push some of the defensive players back, some of the players that Detroit might be interested in.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Nix and Penix. And again, everyone has a different viewpoint. Some have Penix as a top 10, 11 guy. Others think he's a lower first round guy. But you have a lot of teams. And it's about it's always best on the board, best on your own board, what's best available when we look to Mel Kiper on that stage in Detroit. But it's really about needs. That's the most important thing. And we're talking about the Lions. Yeah, everyone needs a shutdown corner. You could use that. It might be the missing piece. But the needs of teams in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks may be unprecedented when I'm looking down the draft board.
Well, if you don't have one, you ain't going to win.
That's right.
Just the reality of the NFL nowadays. And that's why, you know, teams that don't have one are desperate for one. Look, you get in trouble in the NFL draft. I used Pittsburgh a couple years ago as a great example. You know, and Pittsburgh is an organization, obviously, that, you know, has a long history of doing things the right way, drafting the right guys, right? It's been a model organization in this league, but they got into a situation when Big Ben retired that they needed a quarterback, and they reached for Kenny Pickett instead of trusting their process, you know, taking best player available, you know, doing what they do. You know, they reached for a quarterback. And you know, now a few years later, you know, looking to move beyond that. And so, you know, and that's an organization that typically doesn't reach like that. But if you don't have a quarterback, teams will get desperate. You need one. You can't win in this league without one. And so that's why when you have a class like this, when you're one of those teams that has a quarterback and you're not in that mix, you feel really good about it because it's a crapshoot. You know, look at, you know, the 2021 class when, you know, Fields and Wilson and all those guys win. I think there's only one guy, one quarterback from that class that's still on his original team, and it's Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville. So it's a crapshoot, and that's why you don't want to get into that situation. So, you know, the Lions aren't. They have Jared Goff, but they're happy that a lot of teams are because they're going to push the players back their way.
His name is Tim 20Man. You can follow everything Draft Week and year-round when it comes to the Lions and the NFL at DetroitLions.com. Tim 20 Man Insider joining us. Before I let you go, for people listening across the street, I know the NFL puts on the draft, but the Lions are having things going on at Ford Field. What are some of the plans on the Lions' end when it comes to the fan experience and what they can do in downtown Detroit Thursday through Saturday?
Yeah, there's an entire Lions Activation Center right downtown in the draft footprint that I know fans are going to love. There's some great stuff they have planned over there. And I do believe Ford Field is going to be, you know, a venue for maybe some concerts or some activities there too. But certainly when you're downtown in the draft footprint over by Hart Plaza, if you're going, the Lions have a whole activation center that's really, really cool. You can get their new uniforms there. They got a lot of activities for kids and stuff. It should be a fun time.
Yeah, and on that list and locations and everything at DetroitLions.com. That's DetroitLions.com. Timmy, enjoy the draft. We'll talk next week and look back at it.
That sounds good.
All right, Tim 20 Man, DetroitLions.com, columnist insider, checking in on the Meyer guest line. And Meyer proud to welcome back the best female golfers in the world. Father's Day week at the Blyfield Country Club in Plainfield Township, just north of GR. It's the Meyer LPGA Classic for Simply Give that benefits local food pantries, which in turn, Meyer will help families put food on their tables. You want tickets, tourney info, go to MeyerLPGAClassic.com. That's MeyerLPGAClassic.com. And heads up on the new week for the Dow Championship, the two-person LPGA team event, formerly known as the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational. Now, its new moniker, Dow Championship, will be the final week in June at the Midland Country Club for our listeners on 100.9 FM, The Mint. So the Dow Championship, and follow Dow Championship on Facebook and Twitter. And the Huge Show will be there all week long. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great month of golf in June when it comes to the best female golfers in the world in the Grand Rapids area at the Meyer LPGA Classic for Simply Give, and also at the Dow Championship in Midland.